Good morning and welcome to Osage Baptist Church. We're certainly missing everyone's fellowship this morning, but we are able to gather this morning through the power of technology. If someone you know doesn't have access to the internet, please allow us to deliver DVDs to them so they can be a part of this service. I'm going to open us in prayer this morning. Father, we just come to you in this time of trial, and God, we just pray for our nation. We lift our entire nation up to you. We pray for our president and the leadership there, that they would have wisdom and discernment. We pray for the people of this country, the people of our community, God, that they would turn to your Son for the answers. With all the uncertainty, Lord, we can be sure of you. Your love is unwavering. Your word is unchanging. You are trustworthy, and we trust you in this time. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Good morning, everyone. This first song we're going to do is Count Your Blessings. You know, we are a blessed nation, and we are a blessed state, we are a blessed community, and this is a blessed church. And sometimes it's hard to find the blessings in a time like this, but I promise you, they are there. Count your blessings.
One, two, three, four.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done.
Good morning, Osage. Glad to be here. I want to give a shout out and just say good morning to Addie, Alexis, Allie, Allison, Andrew, Antoine, Bennett, Blake, Braden, Brock, Caroline, Cheyenne, Dakota, Danielle, DJ, Emma, Evan, Gwen, Jaden, John, Kenneth, Kennedy, Kyle, Kyla, Lily, Lucas, Maley, Marvin, Matthew, Macy, Noah, Rihanna, Ronnie, Samuel, Sammy, Savannah, Serenity, Shaylin, TJ, Wesley, Wilma, and Alexandria. I want to say good morning, guys. We miss each one of you. We really do. Like I've been saying, talking with Salom, we're still on right now to looking at that. We will keep you updated on that. But you know, I heard the other day, before all this virus, of this pastor, he had went to visit this elderly man. And, you know, the guy was, getting up there in age, and the pastor told him, he said, you know, really, you should start thinking about the hereafter. And the elderly guy said, Pastor, I do. I do all the time. I really do. He said, when I'm in the living room, when I'm upstairs, when I'm in the basement, when I'm in the kitchen, every time I go in one of them rooms, I stop and say, now, what did I come in here after? He said, I think of it all the time. So, you know, sense of humor. We've got to have it during these times, all right? I believe Jesus had a sense of humor, all right? And I really do. He was with people all the time. He'd go to a group or a party or whatever he went to, and he would sit with the people nobody else wanted to sit with. You know, he had a sense of humor, I think it was in Luke 6:41 when he's teaching a parable, and he turns around and he looks at the guy and says, he says, why are you seeing the speck in your brother's eye when you don't even see the log in your own eye? You know, and he could have just said, you hypocrite. But no, he kind of had a sense of humor about it, you know. And during these times, we've got to have a sense of humor. We're locked in together. Have fun with this. Be, count your blessings every day. And just remember that God is in charge. And have a sense of humor. And find God's joy. Read God's word. And just always remember that God loves you, and so do we. So thank you all.
Thank you, Roger. Next song, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Especially during this time, this is where our faith comes in so critical for all of us. My faith looks up to thee.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Change.
Miss Kim.
Good morning. Good morning, Alana Kidd. I'm praying for you and your families this week, praying that you're safe and healthy and well. So before the coronavirus, some of you were working on book awards, and we want you to be able to get your book award, so we're cooking up a plan to try to help you do that. So today, I'm going to give you the TNT verse that goes with section 4.1, and I'm going to ask you to memorize that. We'll let you know when we figure it out how we're going to get you to pass that, but for now, memorize it and recite it to your parents. Practice it with your parents. Hopefully, we'll have a plan next week that we can give you for the Sparks and the Cubbies. So this week's section 4.1 is Joshua 1:9, and this is a perfect verse for the times that we're in right now. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that's Joshua 1:9. So what a great verse. I mean, what a great verse to memorize right now. With COVID-19, we probably have some fear. But we're not supposed to fear. We're commanded to not fear. Our God is much, much bigger than coronavirus. So when you're struggling, when you're afraid, I'd like for you to remember this verse. Say it out loud. God is with you always, wherever you go, and he's got this. So I thought as I was sitting there when Roger was talking, I'm going to have to step up my game because he set the bar pretty high as he listed every single name in his youth group. So I'm not sure that I will be able to list every single name in Awana, but I'm going to work on that this week. I love you and I miss you all so much, and I can't wait till we're back together again.
We have a couple of prayer requests that I'd like to make known. First, for all those in nursing homes, you know, right now they're in separation from their family, folks that they were familiar with, that they were used to seeing. And I'm not just talking about people that are members of this church. All of our local nursing homes have been quarantined. They've been shut down from visitors. So pray for those folks. This has got to be a really challenging time for them. On a good note, Richard and Tricia Ritchie's son, Patrick, and bride-to-be, or potentially maybe bride now. I think the wedding was today, wasn't it? Congratulations to them. They did this, and it was a challenge, and with technology, they were able to do this. They were able to do this through having a ministry, or the minister on one end of the web and them on the other, and it worked out, I'm sure. If you do have any prayer requests, please make them known. Pam Dishern has done a good job of keeping up to date our prayer chain. If you're on the list, you get emails with prayer requests. Just make them known. Reach out to us at the church. Reach out to Pam so she can get you on the prayer chain. Your contributions can continue to be mailed in or dropped off here at the church. And I want to thank everybody for that. In these uncertain times, this church has a huge outreach, and it takes funding and it takes resources to do that. We continue to reach out and help other ministries in our community and even around the world through your generous giving. But if there's a practical way that we can minister to your needs, we also want you to make that known. If you're at high risk and you can't get out of your home, there are practical things that we can do. We can go and get your groceries. We can go and pick up your meds. There's practical ways we can minister to you. If you're an elderly person in this church, you know, there are many that are at risk and high risk that are calling and saying, hey, how can I help and go get your groceries? And I'm saying, that's not the way this should work. You guys have served this church faithfully for so long, and just allow us to serve you. Just stay put, and let's protect one another here. But allow us to minister to you in that way. I'm encouraged by a scripture this morning in Ephesians, and Paul was praying here, and he says this. And if I were to pray this morning, I wish I could pray like this. He says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you be rooted and established in love, that you may have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."
Thank you, Tim. We're going to do a song. Some of you may have heard this. It's on social media all over the place. It's called a song called Waymaker, and I just thought it was appropriate for today and for Pastor Lanny's message that he's going to be given later. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. You know, sometimes, especially during times like this, we don't know where God is at, but God is working. This song says, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Folks, I'm here to tell you, he is working, and he is moving in this place. Waymaker. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. And I worship you, I worship you. You are here, turning us around. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. And I worship you, I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it. Mr. Lanny.
Even though in these turbulent times, we know that the Lord is in charge and He's in charge of you. It's our third week. Can you believe it? Some of you are on your couch watching us in your living room. Some of you should have picked some stuff up. Jordan Cole, you should have dressed a little different for church. I thought you would have at least dressed up a little bit for this occasion. Now Savannah owes me big time. Brother Roger did a great job, didn't he, listing all those kids? I thought that was great. I'm not even going to take a stab at that. But there is a couple of folks I want to mention today. We've got an old friend on the East Coast, John Halls. I tell you, he'll do to ride the river with. John and I have spent a lot of time horseback on the Buffalo. And I just want to say how much I appreciate him. And he's watching our service today. Also, we have a lady on the West Coast, Marge Brookhart, and Marge is either listening or she's watching our program, and they're special folks, and I just want to say hi to them. And Noah will want me to say something about him, so I'm just going to say hi, Noah, and let that go, and that'll upset our service whenever we have it on the couch. But anyway, we're going to do that. Anyway, he's been 3 weeks now without staying up on the hill, without being able to go anywhere. I've thought for those of you that are having trouble with boredom, having to stay home because of boredom, that we've got Noah for rent if you're bored. I'm just teasing, but anyway, we've had a good time. We've had a lot of bonding time during this time. It's been special. Take your Bibles and turn to John, the 11th chapter, the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the fourth book in the New Testament, the Gospel of John. And by the way, in these times of bad news, we've got some good news. Jesus told us in the 28th chapter of Matthew to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Did you know that word means good news? Good news! Jesus has come and died on the cross for our sin. And if you're one of those that does not yet have a personal relationship with Him, I hope that before this time is ended, before our service is ended today, that you'll receive Him as your Savior. Accept Him into your heart and allow Him to change your life. John 11 and verse 1. Now a certain man was sick. We've got a lot of sickness around us in America, don't we? But this is a special case. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. Brother Roger spoke of them a couple of weeks ago. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. That story is found in Matthew 26. That's a great story about her devotion to the Lord. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now you qualify here, and I qualify here, because the Bible tells us that he loves us. Matter of fact, he loves the whole world. He loves the lost. He loves the saved. He loves all of us. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. When Jesus heard He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. So there's sorrow, number one. There's sorrow in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And there's enough sorrow to go around today in America and all over the world where people are sick and dying. Folks are losing their loved ones, their friends. I want us to see something special in this passage that I believe that God could speak to our heart about today. John 11, 3 and 5. The one who you love is sick, is what Martha sent the message to Jesus. And so we qualify here. You and I qualify. Jesus loves you. And I'm telling you, dear friend, if you're one of those that are sick from the coronavirus, it is not because Jesus doesn't love you, because he does love you. Verse 5 says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They were special to Jesus. In Luke 10, verse 38 and verse 39, Martha received Jesus into her house, and the place was Bethany. Now, a couple of things that I want to say to you today. I want to qualify what I'm going to say, but I want you to get that. If you get nothing else today, I want you to get this message. Our suffering has nothing to do with our relationship with Christ. Now, hang on. I'm going to qualify that. Secondly, our spiritual condition will not exempt us from pain and suffering. Now, before someone jumps on the bandwagon here and tries to straighten me out, I realize that sin can bring suffering in your life, and sin can bring suffering in your community and in your family. I realize that there's folks that are sick because of sin. I realize that. But this is a unique situation, and the Lord has given us this example in the Scripture of Lazarus. What had Lazarus done? Not anything. Wasn't his fault that he was sick. And I'm saying today it's not your fault that you're sick, but you need to understand, I need to understand, that our suffering has nothing to do with our relationship with Christ. He loves us, and he knows what is going on. Our spiritual condition will not exempt us from pain and suffering. Now, there's folks that would try to tell you today that if you're sick, it's because of sin in your life. Or if you're not healed, it's because you don't have enough faith. Well, I'm here to tell you that's not the truth today. The truth is that Adam and Eve sinned, and that brought sin upon all humanity, that brought suffering on all humanity. And as long as the world stands, there's going to be disaster. There's going to be disease. There's going to be things like the coronavirus. I've had folks to ask me, what do you think? What do you believe this is the end? And no doubt many folks have thought that. And I don't know. I know that Jesus is coming back. It may be today. It may be 100 years from now. I know he is coming. I believe that this is one of the birth pains. And I believe those have been going on from the time of the cross. I believe we're living in the last days, because the last days are from the time of the cross until Jesus returns, and he is coming. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow, but he is coming again. So, secondly, how do you explain the blind man of John 9? Do you remember that? You can turn back a few pages and find that. John, the 9th chapter, where Jesus heals a man that was blind from his birth. And so in verse 2 of chapter 9, the disciples ask, saying, "Master, who did sin? This man or his parents?" Because that was a common belief, that he was born blind. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." He's at work all over the world. Well, we'd have to ask the question, what about the time the man spent blind from the time he was born until Jesus healed him? Is that not tragedy? Is that not bad stuff? Well, that's the way we would look at it, because that's how we've been programmed to look at it. We would have to say that God allowed it. Ron Dunn made a statement several years ago. Ron Dunn's not living now. He's a Southern Baptist pastor of years past. But I heard him make a statement in one of the sermons that he was preaching. And he said, good and evil many times run on parallel tracks. And lots of time, they get there at the same time. Good and evil many times run on parallel tracks, and lots of times they get there at the same time. Even though it's something that you and I see as tragedy, and there is no doubt that this coronavirus is tragedy. It's tragedy in many people's lives. And we're headed down the wrong road if we're headed down the road if we're blaming God for what has taken place. That's just simply not the truth. Come from sin. It come from the sin of Adam and Eve. But what we would have to say is that God has allowed it. He allowed the blind man. He allowed the woman with the issue of blood. He allowed leprosy, the paralytic, the cancer, the polio. Probably allowed polo too, but he allowed polio. By our perspective, we're convinced that good health with the absence of sorrow will make us happy. We'll be happy. That's not true. That's just absolutely not true. I know folks who are spending their lives in wheelchairs and they're happy. I know folks that have great health and yet they're unhealthy. They're unhappy. I know folks who have plenty of wealth, but they're not happy. And I see folks that hardly have no wealth at all that are happy. And so that is not the answer to it. Good health or the absence of it does not bring happiness in our life. We've been programmed to think that if we have health and wealth and prosperity, that that'll make us happy. But that is not true. You and I, most of us, because we live in the land of the free and the brave, are doing pretty good. Most of us do pretty good. I was one of the baby boomers after World War II. There was a song came out that talked about that several years ago. And it says, "We grew up on Mickey Mouse and hula hoops." You all remember those? "Then we all bought BMWs and brand new pickup trucks, kids of the baby boom. We had freedom, we had money, kids of the baby boom. Here in the land of the milk and honey, counting our chickens way too soon, kids of the baby boom. Now we all can run computers. Well, some of us can. We can all run computers and we all can dance and we all have Calvin Klein written on our underpants. And at 6 o'clock, like robots, we turn on the news, watch those third world countries deal out more abuse. We remember the first man on the moon. We of the baby boom. Now those things will make us happy. I want to tell you, dear friend, today that there is this void, this vacancy in your life that only God can fill. That sadness or that happiness is not in accordance to what you know, but who you know. And it is by having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in days like these, there's no more important time for you to turn to God than now. In Romans, the 8th chapter and verse 28, the Bible says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. So, with good and evil running along parallel tracks, God worked something good out of all this tragedy, out of all this mess that is taking place in our life. It's our perspective, it's how we look at it that will make the difference in our life. Frances Jane Fanny Crosby was born in 1820 and she lived until 1915. She was an American hymn writer and poetess. She wrote over 8,000 hymns during her life. One time a preacher sympathetically remarked, "I think it's a great pity that the Master did not give you sight when He showed so many other gifts upon you." She replied quickly, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I should be born blind?" "Why?" asked the surprised clergyman. "Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior." Can you comprehend that? Can you get a hold of that? In John 9 and verse 39, Jesus said that they which see not might see. Fanny Crosby had a vision that most of us do not have, even though she could not physically see. She had a vision through her heart of the glory of God that most of us will never be able to see because we're not in her situation. She wrote, "To God be the glory." You remember that? "Great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son. All the way my Savior leads me. Tell me the story. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story of Jesus. So precious that ever was heard. The King of glory, Jesus, lover of my soul. I am Thine, O Lord. I'm Thine, O Lord." Isn't that great? "Pass me not, O gentle Savior." Jesus is tenderly calling, and that may be happening in your life right now. Blessed assurance, "Jesus is mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. "He hideth my soul." He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. Isn't that a great place to be? "And covers me there with His hand. Close to Thee, my Savior, first of all, redeemed." Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. redeemed and so happy in Jesus, His child and forever I am, rescue the perishing. That's what we should be about right now. That's what Osage Baptist Church should be about, rescue the perishing. Throw out the lifeline to someone who is struggling. To the work, may the hungry be fed. Charles Journeycake was a part of Beacon College, and his words are inscribed on a permanent placard there at the college. He's chief of the Delawares. And he made this statement: we've been broken up and moved 6 times. We've been despoiled of our property. When we moved across the Missouri River and had paid for our homes in Kansas, that we were safe, we thought. But in a few years, a white man wanted our country. We had good farms. We built comfortable houses and big barns. We had schools for our children and churches where we listened to the same gospel the white man listened to. The white man came into our country from Missouri and he drove out our cattle and our horses. And if our people followed them, they were killed. We tried to forget these things. But we would not forget that the white man brought to us the blessed gospel of Christ, the Christian's hope. Now listen closely, because this got me. This more than pays for all we have suffered. Charles Journeycake, chief of the Delawares, April 1886. Out of suffering of life comes our greatest blessings. One of the songs that Fanny Crosby wrote is that I must tell Jesus. John the Baptist's disciples buried the headless body of their leader. Then they went and told Jesus. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. Wait, this is not Fanny Crosby, I'm sorry. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. And then the chorus says, I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burden alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, and Jesus alone. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world the victory to win. Might come, and let's give our folks an opportunity to turn to Jesus with all their heart. Some of you I haven't met. Most of you I have. There may be folks that are here watching this service from their couch, from their home. And there's not been a time in your life that you have invited Jesus to come into your heart as personal Savior. The Bible tells us that every single one of us are sinners and lost. We need a Savior. The Bible tells us that God so loved us that He sent Jesus to come and die on the cross for our sin. You and I have sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God. But He's given us the invitation and the possibility right now to invite Him into our heart as a personal Savior. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so right where you're at, maybe your entire family has not done this yet. And God's speaking to you through this video. Would you just join your hands with your family? And maybe you could just get on your knees if you're able to, there in front of your couch. And if you would accept Christ as your Savior, let me lead you in what I call the sinner's prayer. It's a prayer that I prayed when I accepted Christ as my Savior. And you can do that very same thing even today. Perhaps you're listening and you're already a Christian. You already know Christ as your Savior. But you know that you're not living for Him. That your life's not bringing glory to Him. And because of everything that has happened, God spoke to your heart. And you have perhaps made resolve in your heart already that you're going to turn to Him with all your heart and all your family. As far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And maybe that's the decision that you have made. Well, if you're already a Christian, would you pray for these folks that might be praying today that do not know Christ as their Savior? I'm just going to ask you to get a hold of the hand of that person that's sitting on the couch next to you and bow your head. And if you're not a Christian, would you pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner and lost. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to come and die on the cross so I could be saved. Lord Jesus, come into my heart right now and be my Savior. Save my soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now I want you to do this. I want you to tell someone that you have asked Jesus into your heart as Savior. We've got some telephone numbers on our website that you can go to. My cell number is on that. Tim and Roger's cell number is on that. And you can call and talk to one of us. Maybe you have some questions about your own needs, about your own spiritual needs in your life. And you would like for someone to just pray with you in person. If you'd call us, we'd just be tickled to do that on the phone with you. So we're asking you to do that. And then when this mess is over, you need to find you a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And you need to become a part of those folks. Follow the Lord in believers' baptism. And begin to work for the Lord. Let me pray for you right now. Father, I come before your throne of grace and mercy, and I want to pray for these people that may have accepted you as Savior today. They've heard the gospel, they've heard the good news, and they've responded to it in a positive way. I pray, Lord, that you would lead them in the way that would cause them to grow. And Lord, I just pray that Satan would be bound and that Jesus Christ would be lifted up in their lives. And I just plead the blood of Jesus over these folks right now. And I pray for those that are struggling with this sickness. Lord, I know you can heal. It may not always be your will, but I know that you can if you choose to. So, Lord, I do pray for your healing to be in the life of these people. And many people you have. And you've even put that in our body to be healed. So, God, I pray for that. for those that are sick. I pray for their families, those that have lost loved ones to this, and there's lots of them. God, I pray that you'd comfort them. I pray, Lord, that folks would realize today that you're not against us, you're for us, and that you love us. God, I pray that we would repent as a nation. I pray that, Lord, that we would turn to you with all of our heart, that revival would break out in our nation, in our state. God, I pray for our leaders. I pray for those folks that are making decisions for our nation. God, that your Spirit would lead them and direct them in the way that you would have them to go. Lord, you said in your word that the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, and like rivers of water, you move it about the way that you would have it to go. And I pray for that freedom today. I lift up Osage Baptist Church to you. I lift up those that are struggling and having difficulty with this tremendous time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.